Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
All right. For some of you, maybe when you're watching the video of Willis, remember him as our youth pastor 25 years ago. Does anybody remember that? Couple hands out, okay, a few of you do. Yeah, through the 90s, Willis was the youth pastor. He was the Scott Shugart of the day, if you will. And just neat to see him come back to town and to give back in such a way to really try to see healthy living in the lives of people around town. So make sure that you're grabbing those eggs on the way out. We juggled them on the way in. It was really a sight to see with ice on the sidewalk too. So we're going to jump in here this morning and conclude our series, our Thanksgiving series that we have been on this month, as we focused our hearts on more than just seeing the problems and more than just seeing the hardships, but seeing through it all, God is faithful, and there's got to be something for us to be thankful for. There's got to be someone in particular for us to set our gaze upon and lift our eyes up that we can be thankful for this person. How many of y'all know, many times it's not that the situation changes, but our perspective of that situation can change and can elevate. And God, when he can get a hold of a person's perspective, really the situation feels differently because it's a new man approaching that situation. All of the hardships around us may not shift, but when my vision, when my paradigm shifts, I can see it differently. I want to, excuse me, I'm kind of suffering through this morning a little bit, show you a couple pictures here of perspective. This is a exact same situation that's happening. There's this this cylinder block piece of wood that's here in the room with light shining on it. However, there's a couple different perspectives that are looking at this thing. And I want to encourage us that if our perspective is constantly negative, I always think that I got ripped off, I never thought that I got a head start in life, I never got a fair shake. When that's your view of life, you're going to see life through that lens, and everything will kind of fall into those categories. They just do, because your perspective assigns it to that category. This is the category where my dad left. This is the category where my brother ripped me off. This is the category where my boss was a jerk and he fired me. This is the category where my marriage didn't work out because it was everybody else's. This is the category where this person, right? 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 We see things in certain lenses and we say all of this stuff has happened and life has just been hard. And usually because of all of these other people have just hurt me. And I'm not saying that any of that's not true. But there's also a different way to see it, is that, man, even though my father wasn't around, God was a father to the fatherless. And he was faithful and consistent. And my vision of that has just elevated. And instead of being bitter, I just live in forgiveness because my perspective is the cross. And I can't look at the cross and think that I've ever been ripped off. I got the good end of the deal on this cross situation. In the same way that he has forgiven me, I can forgive others. Man, maybe my covenant union didn't work out, but I'm in a covenant with the Lord, and he is faithful. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Our eyes have to transcend and see something differently. Another picture here. One guy's saying, yes, there's a boat. The guy on the boat saying, yes, there's land. It really matters which way are you going. Because the thing that you're heading toward, you're so energized on what you're heading toward, right? Whenever you're young, man, yes, that girl, I just want to be married. Like, oh my gosh, she's annoying. My gosh, I gotta, let me go back out to the shop. Or, man, I just want that car. And you work for that car and you save for that car and you buy that car. You're like, oh my gosh, this thing is expensive. I gotta maintain this thing. And oh, right, whatever those longings are, seems like they just shift over the course of time. For whatever reason, maybe we're just not satisfied. I don't know if it's human nature or if it's just sinful human nature that needs to be washed in a perspective where Jesus can show us so much to be thankful for. Let's see another one. Maybe this artist. Look at this guy. He's just painting what he sees, man. He's just painting what he sees. And if you know, sometimes what you see is not always real. That's not the real landscape. There's not a tusk on that horizon. But this is what I see. And if our glasses have ever been broke in life, we're looking through these broken glasses, and everything's just off, right? And your head is kind of over on your right shoulder, and it's just a little bit off. And if we don't get the Lord to come in and just rewire and wash through, and all those dings and hurts and damages, to say, man, give me a fresh perspective. Let me see things the way you see them, Lord, because there's so much more that I could bring to you in my worship, in my gratitude, and my thanksgiving. I'm not saying that this thing's been easy, but there's a lot of good. There really is. There's a lot of good. Also this morning, as we're going here, I don't want us to think, well, I guess I just can't ever have grief in life. No. Trust me, grief is legit. And sometimes to have a good grieving process, man, there's just a lot of health there. Man, we want to grieve in healthy ways that bring us toward healthy living. But we don't want to just dwell in the grief, right? There's still a lot of quality of life left that the Lord wants to bring us into. Come on, there's more, baby. Let's go. I know it's hard. I know that was tough. And maybe we never fully leave that grief. There's still that ache of that loss. Maybe it was a child, a parent, a spouse. I don't know what. Maybe just hard relationships. Like, they're still alive, but it feels like a loss. It feels tough. Maybe there's some hard things going on in jobs. I don't know, whatever, but there's still a lot of good that the Lord wants just to invite you in. He's not done yet. And to assume that he is an indictment upon his goodness and on his infinite goodness. It's not like it was only good for you in the 40s and 50s. God is faithful to the end. And he wants to show himself that he's faithful to the end. What if I would tell you that the story of David and Goliath was this close to never happening? And what if I told you this? The life of Goliath was this close to never existing. I want to tell you a story today about three women that all come together in pain and suffering. And I want to tell you about the legacy of not just two men, but two nations that come out of decisions that they make based upon the pain that they endured. How many of y'all know that the decisions that you make in the midst of heartache, heartache is a dangerous place to be making big decisions, because they're emotionally centered. They're anchored in something that hurts. And then we start making really big decisions on them. And we need the mind of God to make decisions. And so I want to show you this story in the book of Ruth. If you would, flip with me to the book of Ruth. And we're going to talk about how perspective creates reality. It creates the reality around you. Perspective sets you on the course for your life. And if we have a perspective of thanksgiving, then we'll see things in a certain way. If we have a perspective of complaining, then we just kind of see things through that lens. Complaining kind of leads to this thing of, I deserve more. Maybe some pride. I am better and I deserve better. Expectations. And expectations usually lead to disappointments, right? I'm just complaining. I expected more. It's not that. You said one thing. I'm disappointed. I deserve better. And that can be a perspective, just kind of complaining. Then there's thanksgiving, and thanksgiving comes with just kind of this gratitude. I'm just gracious. Usually what flows out of thanksgiving is generosity. whenever. I'm just so thankful. I'm not trying to hoard. I'm just grateful that I have any, right? I'm just happy to be invited to the party. I don't care that I'm sitting at the back table. I'm just glad I'm in the room. There's just a different perspective. One person complains that they're at the back table. The other person's thankful that they got invited. I'm serious. That's the way people see all of life. A very thin sliced example. Man, I should have had that parking spot. I'm serious. You see that stuff all, you see it everywhere. I never get that. They always get, I never got that. Always. I'll tell you this, people gravitate to gratitude. And don't be confused, people come to complaining. They do. They'll show up to that party. And usually the people that show up for the complainer is the other complainers that have a losing mentality. And I'll say it's a loser mentality. It's the fact like we're all 7 years old and you're a loser. I'm not just saying that. But I'm saying you're losing. That's how you lose in life with that perspective. It's not a good strategy to approach life with that perspective. It's just not good to kind of just move through life with the heaviness of all of my pain and just to stare down the barrel of that. Let's look at a few women that went through some really hard stuff in life. Real quick, anybody remember the comedian Bob Newhart? Remember when he was a psychiatrist? He was a counselor? Do you remember his big line? Anybody? I think I heard it out there. Stop it! Yeah. So somebody comes in and they're complaining about their life, and he's like listening, and they're like, oh, this is going on. He's like, well, stop it. And they're like, no, I mean, like, here's like what's happening and this, and here's what's happening in my life. And he's like, stop it. I don't think that's helpful as far as a counselor. I don't know that I would want to pay that counselor over and over. But, man, there's just a lot of truth. I don't know if it's always helpful. Sometimes I don't know if truth is always helpful. Maybe. But that's... Why am I thinking of that? Let's move on here. So these three women, we see it starts with this woman named Naomi, and she has a couple of sons. These sons get married to two women. The two women, their names are Ruth and Orpah. And we're going to see what happens here with these three women. Many times, some of y'all know, many times tragedy and thankfulness are like forever foes. Like to really meet and marry, thanksgiving in the midst of tragedy, it seems like can just forever be headbutting. But I believe even in the midst of suffering, there's still good to be thankful for. So these three women, they enter into fellowship with one another. All three of their husbands die. I know our church has several widows and widowers. You know the pain. And now imagine, as if you were Naomi, now you have daughters and their husbands are dead. And so now we're just kind of all in this thing together. Ruth chapter 1 starts in immense pain. I mean, some of the hardest stuff in life, the loss of a spouse. And they're together in this fellowship of heartache. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. That's going to be a hard message for a mama to tell the spouse of her dead son, I hope you find another husband. Go, be released, and go on with the beauty of life, and pursue another marriage and have children. She's giving this release. Then she kissed them and said goodbye, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, we will go back with you. We'll go back with your people. Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who would become your husbands? Let's jump down to verse 13. No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than it is for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. This word cling means with her heart, a heart that clings and wraps around. The decisions that we make, and there's two women that made two different decisions. Orpah said, okay, I'll be released and I'll return home and I'm going to move on with my life. Another one made a decision and Ruth said, I'm not leaving you, I'm clinging, I'm staying, I'm all in. Ruth goes on to make a pretty famous quote here is what she says right here in verse 16. In verse 15 it says, look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people, now you go back with her. 16, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to take back from you, to turn back from you. Where you will go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Ruth's perspective was set. It was unshakable. She was seeing things in a certain way. My family is gone. I have nothing, but I'm not leaving. I'm staying locked in. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. She basically says, I'm selling all of the potential of what life could be. I'm banking it into you, Naomi. I'm thankful for this relationship. There's too much invested. There's too much value. I don't see the value exchange. It's not better for me to leave. It's better for me to stay. She saw something much differently than what Orpah did. Tell you this, when your attitude can get locked in, your altitude can get launched out. And if your attitude is so jammed and so frustrated and so everybody's out to get me, your altitude will hover at a pretty low level. But when your attitude begins to transcend, your altitude transcends. You begin to see differently instead of the way that the chickens see, which is only pecking at the ground. Here's what they see all day long. Seeing, I ought to see from this 30,000 point view. God, how do you see my life? I want to just plead with people. It's not over. It's not. There's still more. There's still more purpose within you. And just readjusting in a different season of life. God, what is it? There's been a lot of pain. I feel like there's not much left in my life. What purpose or impact do I still have? And to plead with him and to ask him, Jesus, make my life count even until the end. When we feel like we get ripped off, I'll tell you, it's a distracted feeling. It distracts you from really where what your emotions and your passion should be centered on. It distracts from our destiny. It robs us from where we really could be at. Even in the midst of some hard stuff, there still can be joy even through it all. And saying, God, would you wash me? Would you cleanse me? The Bible says, man, if I can renew my mind. Man, this is a mind game, isn't it? Jesus, I need you to come into my mind, refresh and renew. And God, let me be able to see with a new perspective things differently. This might not happen overnight. Maybe it will. Maybe it's a supernatural miracle. But maybe there's just a readjusting of, I'm going to just start walking this thing out. I'm going to start making different choices. I'm going to be choosing the people that I'm around like Ruth did. I'm going to choose to stay close, Naomi. Maybe you need to get around those people that are going to speak life into you. Don't isolate. Orpah says, I'm out. I'm out of here. And Naomi clings and comes in closer. Can't continue just to kind of stay and to sit in those places of rejection. You didn't get it. I wanted it and didn't. Whatever. Just dwelling in those places is not a good strategy. It's not wise just to sit and to dwell when God is calling us to move forward. There's still so much more ahead. In verse 19, it goes on, so the two women, they went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. The women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi," she said, "call me Mara, because Almighty God has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." Anybody ever felt like that? Man, I was living this life. Man, life was full. I had purpose. I am wiped. I'm empty. I feel like I'm bitter. This is Naomi's testimony. This is one of the hardest testimonies that we can read in Scripture. This is tough. It's a tough text. "I went away full, and it was the Lord who made me empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune on me." You ever been through it so hard? Have to blame God. I'm going to shake my fists. And she calls him the Almighty. Whew. If somebody's Almighty, I don't want to shake my fists. She calls him Almighty and shakes her fists. Saying, "So Naomi returned to Moab accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." Now here's what happens in the story is Ruth now has to go to work. And Ruth is going to help provide because the men of the family are dead now. So she starts showing up, and she's not a farmer, but what the women would do is they would follow the men in the fields, and they would do what's called gleaning wheat. And they would pick up the wheat that would be left, or maybe there would even be stalks of wheat that would be left, and they would gather the wheat, or they would be gleaning wheat after her. So Ruth shows up into this field, and she's gleaning afterwards, and in the process of doing this, she gets found by this man named Boaz. Boaz is an Old Testament picture of Jesus. Let's check out how he does this. "At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, 'Why have I found such favor in the sight of you, a foreigner?' Boaz replied, 'I have been told all about what you have done with your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland, and you came to live with a people that you didn't even know. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. You will be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you now take refuge.'" Y'all remember when I said, what if Goliath never happened? There were three women in this story, right? There was Naomi, and there was Ruth and Orpah. Ruth says, "I'm staying." Orpah says, "I'm leaving." Let's follow the story of Orpah, shall we? Orpah goes on. She goes back to her homeland. Orpah remarries and finds a husband. She has children. She has children's children. And she becomes the great-grandmother of a whole tribe of giants. Giants that take over the land. One of the names of the giants was legendary. His name was Goliath. What if Goliath's mama would have made a different decision? What was the fruit produced from the life of Orpah? She says, "I'm going in this direction. I'm changing directions. I'm heading down this path. I'm going down here." And she made decisions, and the fruit of her life were at enemies. They were enemies. They were at war with the people of God. What she produced was at war with God. The things that we produce in our life, and the fear and the worry and the anxiety and all the broken relationships and all the hurt and the pain that we can produce in our life, is when we make the wrong decisions and leaving in the midst of heartache. Can I tell you about Ruth and her lineage? So Ruth goes on and she connects with this man named Boaz. Actually, let's just read the text in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He made love to her. The Lord enabled her to conceive. She gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who on this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout all of Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took her child in her arms and she cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. One becomes the grandma to Goliath. The other one becomes the grandma to David. One of their sons takes the head of the other one. You ever think that maybe these three women would ever get together for coffee ever so often? "Hey, it's been so long. I haven't seen you forever. Oh." They sit down at Starbucks. Like, "Hey, what are your kids doing now? Give me the report. What's your great-grandkids doing?" "Well, my great-grandson, I just got a new sticker on the back of the mule. My grandson's better than your grandson. My grandson beat your honor roll student." "Oh yeah? My grandson, on his mantle hangs your grandson's head." These women went very different routes and had very different legacies. I want to tell you, man, what the decisions that you're making in the midst of heartache right now matter. It matters. And the worldview that you're working with right now matters. And the children underneath you right now, it matters. How you are living, the attitude that you have, the frustration, the tone, all of that stuff that's coming out of you matters, because there is seed that is coming that is forever impacted by a legacy of someone who's going to be consecrated and focused, saying, "I am not leaving. I'm clinging. Your God is my God. I'm locked in. And if I can lock it in, I can gain ground. But if your heart says, 'Forget this, he's not good, I'm going to shake my fist, I'm going to turn my back on God,' there could be a really hard future for you, kids, grandkids. It just could be. It just could be. And I want to encourage us, let's get our minds washed, our hearts clean. God, renew me. God, I want to live in the light of a thankful heart, and I approach you in a different way." And so even as Bob Newhart would maybe just say, "Stop it," Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, I have this scripture. It says to stop it. It says to do all things without murmuring or complaining. So it's just live in a different perspective. How about this one? Psalm chapter 100 and verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." I'll tell you this, I believe that just like any door, in order to gain access, to pop through, to get through there, sometimes it feels like that whole thing is locked. And maybe I'm telling you this and you're like, "Man, I just feel like my heart is locked up." I believe that gratitude is like a big unlock in life. It's a big key that's able to pop a different door open. Oh, I've never seen this room before. Another room of opportunities. This past week, I called Fairmount Hardware. Sherry Payne answered. I said, "Sherry, I would like to have 130 keys." She goes, "When?" This was on Friday. I said, "Sunday." She goes, "Like this coming Sunday?" I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Brock, why is it always just so wild and crazy?" She's like, "It's just kind of a crazy idea. It's a little bit wild, and you need it like tomorrow." I was like, "I know, but I need 130 keys. Is it possible?" And she said, "I'd have to like order them or, you know, whatever." And I was like, "Can you cut them?" She's like, "Yeah." She cut or found a bunch of old keys or recut new keys for us this morning. We have several people around the church that are going to pass out a key. I want everybody to get a key. If you've got some on you, would you pass some keys around the sanctuary? And here's what I want us to do. Some of these that are the old ones, she said, these have been sitting around at Fairmount Hardware for 30 years. Maybe you asked for a key to your front door and never got it. We have it this morning. And it's going to end up in the hands of Doug or Harlan or something. I don't know. Good luck. But I want everybody to take this key. And whether it's to put it in your Bible, maybe it's to put it on your keychain. And you're always just thinking, man, what's that one random key? That's that key of gratitude. Maybe you put it into your in your car up there by the speedometer, and there's just this extra key that's there. Maybe it's hanging in your bathroom, but there's this key. And what is the key? And I'll tell you, in my life, a major key to joy and happiness, following the Lord, making decisions that are based upon the purpose that God has for me, is living with a heart of gratitude to Jesus. It just is. It's just the way that you've got to filter and see things differently. And so here we have a great text of some women that went through hard stuff, and we see how life turned out. Just want to end with this question. What is the fruit that's being produced from your perspective? I have this perspective. I see things in this light. What's the fruit being produced from that attitude? What's the fruit over the course of the last year, 3 years, 5 years, the thing that's been produced in your life, what's the fruit produced of your approach and perspective? And you might be thinking, it's awesome, and I'm crushing it, and I love it. Great. Maybe it's not. Jesus, rework me, rewash me, change me, renew me. I want to have a perspective like a Ruth and a lineage that you would bless because of decisions on how I live my life. If y'all would just... That's perspective. That's authority. Keys provide something else. Keys provide access and authority. You don't get in unless you got the authority to be there, right? Would you all stand with me this morning, and let's hold up our keys. And let's ask the Lord to unlock some things in us. To unlock a new perspective, to unlock a new way to see it, to unlock some new emotions in our hearts. Jesus, we just come before you, Lord, and we just say, you are our God. These are our people. This is our life. I'm locked in on this life that you have given me. Lord, I want to just double down right now like Ruth did. Unshakable. God, I pray for a tenacity to hit our spirits this morning, Lord. Jesus, I just pray for your faithfulness to meet us as we make a consecrated decision. Lord, I pray that the key of thanksgiving would hit our spirits, unlock a new sense of joy. God, I pray that you would just release a new perspective of joy, a heart that's full of grace, a heart that's full of generosity. God, a heart that doesn't feel like it's ripped off, a heart that feels blessed and honored that you are our God. And we are your people. Lord, I just pray that this key would be a big unlock in our futures and our lives. Lord, I just lift up every family here that's heading into this holiday season. Some of it's full of celebration. Some of it's full of painful reminders. Lord, I pray through it all your presence would be real, that your peace would pass all understanding, and that your joy would hit our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave, we want to do one more thing. I am so sorry. Anthony, there you are. Come on down here, brother. I want to see Anthony. Before you leave, we're going to do a prayer for Anthony. Anthony is about to head off to, is it basic training? Is that right? Man, we want to send off one of our spiritual sons here, right? And where are you heading?
St.
San Antonio. Anybody remember when you headed off to training? Oh, man. Hey, are there any of you out there? Would you come down here? Let's wrap. Yeah, Tom and Dollar, would you come down here? Dennis, yeah. And let's stand around Anthony. We're going to just lift him up in prayer. Wilbur, yeah. Anybody else? There's Bill. Dennis went to San Antonio, he said. That's powerful. Yeah, let's wrap around here. You guys, come in here. Very cool. Let's send him off with some prayer. Lord, we do just lift up Anthony. We just pray right now, God, that your presence would be all around him. Lord, I pray that you would just alleviate the fear, the anxiety, and just hit him with a powerful presence of peace and just a confidence in knowing you, Lord. Lord, we pray for favor with the men and women around him. Lord, we pray for strength. Pray that this would be a spiritually alive time and that the enemy would stay off of his faith and that those attacks, God, would be hedged by your presence. Lord, I pray just to be near and close to Anthony as he heads off. God, we just honor him. We thank you that he's willing to serve our country. We thank you for him as a serviceman. Lord, just pray for strength on this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. That's a servant, man. All right, brother.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.